What a wonderful day. I can't get over this celebration, this opportunity that we have to just recognize the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, that Jesus is risen, you know? What a wonderful thing to be able to gather together and celebrate that and just, you know, sing together, hang out together, and enjoy the presence of the Lord together. What a great thing. I love Easter Sunday, man. I love it. So Jesus is risen, y'all. That's how we say it in Texas. Jesus is risen, y'all. That's how we say it. So, and that's good news for all of us this morning, you know. But what's amazing, when we look at this passage of scripture that we just read earlier, I don't know if you recognize this, but even though Jesus was risen, right, when Mary comes into contact with Jesus and with the angels, she doesn't recognize him, even though he's risen. And that's true, I think, in our lives a lot of times, right? So I want to tell you guys a story. So you may not know this about me, all right? But several years ago, I signed a record deal. I was a musician. I signed a record deal. Now, before you get all impressed, all right, all that means is that I drove around in a 15-passenger van with three smelly guys and ate way too much pizza for a couple of years and made absolutely no money. Okay, that's all that means. It was a really awesome, wonderful, and difficult time in my life, right? But I'll never forget whenever my album came out, right? I was so excited about that. And if you're on YouVersion, you actually can see a picture of the album cover. Super embarrassing, okay? But I'll never forget when my album came out. I was so pumped because it was in stores everywhere, all right? And now I need to confess something to you, okay, as your pastor. I feel like, you know, it's important that I'm honest with you and that you know kind of where my flaws are. When I knew that my album had come out, you know, I was walking through Walmart one day and I was like, ooh, look, you know, who was that looking back at me? You know, I was pretty excited about that. And so then what I would do sometimes, okay, this is just me confessing to you, right? What I would do sometimes is I would put on the same clothes that I was wearing on the album cover. And I would go to Walmart and I would stand next to my album and see if anybody recognized me, okay? I would just stand there because in my mind, what was going to happen was somebody would be walking through, looking, and they'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, that's you right there. I'm going to buy this. Can you sign that for me? Like, I really thought that was going to happen. And so I was so excited for that to happen, and I would do that all the time. And here's what I need to tell you. No one ever did, okay? No one ever recognized me, all right? It was completely a waste of my time, all right? But I did, one time I did have a friend, and she was at Tower Records in Nashville. We all used to live there, and she was hanging out at Tower Records, and she was in the checkout line, okay? And she was buying a CD. For all you kids, those were these little silver disc things, and they had music on them. It was weird. And you put them in this player, and it played music. It was crazy, right? So she was buying a CD, and while she was in line to buy a CD, there was a guy that was behind her, and he was kind of ratty looking, you know, kind of strange looking dude. And she's in line getting ready to buy, and she's like, I feel like I know that guy from somewhere. I wonder if he went to my church, or I wonder, she's trying to think, where do I know him from, you know? So she checks out and gets her CD, but she doesn't say anything to the guy because she's not sure where she knows him from, you know? As she's walking out the door, she hits the door, goes into the parking lot, and realizes that was Steven Tyler. That was Steven Tyler from Aerosmith standing right behind me in the checkout line. He had like a stack of like 30 CDs that he was buying, you know. And she went into the parking lot and she was like, oh my goodness, that was Steven Tyler. And now I want to say a couple of things about this story, all right? For those of you who don't know, Aerosmith, one of the greatest rock bands of all time, okay? Steven Tyler, one of the greatest front men of all time, all right? But there's a few things you need to know about Steven Tyler. Like, Steven Tyler doesn't look like anybody else, okay? He has a very, let me say this in the kindest way possible. He's got a very distinctive look, okay? Like, he's not an attractive man, okay? That's what I want to say, all right? His mouth, it looks like a cartoon character. It's huge, you know? And he's just a strange-looking dude, you know? But she didn't recognize him. She couldn't place Steven Tyler. There's only one of those in the world, right? And he was even wearing the scarf. You know how, for those of you who are Aerosmith fans, you know how he'd wear those scarves, and he would take them off, and he'd wrap them around his microphone stand, you know? And he would do all these crazy things with his microphone stand and the scarf. He was even wearing the scarf, like... All of the trademark Steven Tyler things were there, and she didn't recognize him until she was out in the parking lot. And by then it was too late, right? So we know what this is like. Like, this kind of thing happens sometimes. Right? Some of you might even have a story about how you were, you know, how you happened to be, you know, in a restaurant, and, you know, and Chris Beard was sitting, wait a minute, it's too soon. That was too soon. I'm sorry. Patrick Mahomes was sitting in the restaurant with you, and you thought, look at that nice 12-year-old over there eating lunch, you know, and you didn't realize that that was Patrick Mahomes, right? So we have stories like that, where we have interactions with famous people, and we don't realize who they are, right? So what happens here is that Mary has this interaction where she talks to Jesus. Jesus talks to her, and she doesn't recognize him. And what we're going to be doing for the next several weeks, for the next 5 weeks, is we're going to be going through several of these episodes that Jesus had, these encounters that Jesus had with people after he was resurrected. And in many of these encounters, the people don't recognize Jesus for who he is when they see him face to face. And so in each one of these stories, we're going to be trying to look at, okay, why can't we see? Why can't we see Jesus when he shows up in our lives? And we're also going to be asking, what does this mean? What did that interaction mean that Jesus had with that person? And what does it mean for us today? And so every week we're going to be talking about those two questions as we look at these passages of Scripture. So today, looking at this story of Mary, right, we're asking ourselves, why can't we see? Okay, why can't we see the risen Christ in front of us? And one reason, friends, might be because we have limited expectations. We have limited expectations. I mean, let's look at verse 11 of John chapter 20. Here's what it says. It says, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. Now listen to this, okay? She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him. Now, y'all, I can't pretend to know what was going on in Mary's head when she looked into the tomb and literally saw two angels in white sitting in there. You know, I have no idea what she was thinking. Maybe she was thinking, oh, look, Steven Tyler. You know, I don't know. But whatever it was, she didn't recognize that these were two angelic beings that were sitting in the tomb. And they're having a conversation with her just like it's normal. And she's like, well, I don't know where they put Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, she totally doesn't even recognize these people. And you wonder, why in the world could Mary not recognize these angels? And why does she not recognize Jesus later on? What was it? So there's several reasons here, but let's talk about a famous psychological study that was done several years ago. It was by Simons and Chabris. I'm going to say Chabris. It's probably Chabris or something like that, but I'm going to say Chabris. It sounds better, right? Simon and Chabris. And what they did was they made this video, and it was a video of several people passing a basketball back and forth, right? And some of the people passing the basketball back and forth had white T-shirts on. Okay? And so what they did was they had people sit down and watch the video, and they said, here's what we want you to do. We want you to count how many times a person with a white T-shirt on passes the basketball. Okay? So the people would sit down and they would watch the video and try to count how many times a person in a white T-shirt passed the ball. Right? Okay. In the middle of the video, y'all, a person dressed in a gorilla suit comes walking out and stands in the middle of the video and waves at the camera and then walks off. And did you know that only half of the people who watched the video ever saw the guy in the gorilla suit? Did you know that? And so what they came up with was this theory of selective perception. Like, our expectations actually shape our perception. What we expect to see is kind of what we often see. And so here's Mary. She's headed to the tomb. Why? Because she saw Jesus die. She saw Jesus placed in a tomb. Her expectation is that he's buried and in that tomb, and she's going to wrap his body with, to perform all of the rites of burial that Jewish people had, and to put the, you know, the fragrances and all that stuff on his body, the spices and everything on his body as those rites of burial. She's going to the tomb because she expects that Jesus is dead. That's her expectation. So when she sees the empty tomb, it can only mean one thing. Somebody came up in here and stole the body of Jesus. Her perception matched her expectation. And I think sometimes that's how we are, right? Sometimes that's how we are. Sometimes we kind of roll through our life and we really don't expect in any way to encounter the risen Christ in a real way in our lives. We don't expect it. And so we're just kind of rolling through our day. Look, I'm just trying to make it through the end of my day. I'm trying to make it to my kid's baseball game. I'm just trying to, you know, survive this kind of crunch time at work. I'm just kind of head down doing my thing, right? And I'm expecting the next thing to come. And I'm not really paying attention. I'm not really looking or expecting for the risen Christ to show up in my life. And so when Jesus does show up in our lives, we don't see him. We don't recognize him. Let me ask you a question. And don't answer this out loud, okay? But let me ask you a question. What did you expect was going to happen when you came to church this morning? What did you expect? Oh, I'll see some people that I know. Get to spend some time with my family. We'll sing some fun songs. Maybe because it's Easter, the bald pastor will preach a little less long than he normally does, right? You know what the early church expected whenever they showed up and gathered together? You know what happened sometimes? What happened when they got together is that people who were sick got healed. Like people who were dead were literally raised from the dead. That's what happened when they got together, right? People who were in prison got busted up out of prison. That's what happened when they got together. So when they came together, when they gathered together, they came like, I wonder what God's going to do this time, you know? I wonder who's about to get healed, because somebody's going to get healed, right? They'd be like, man, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder who's going to get busted out of prison. God's about to do something. I can't wait. And they would come expecting for the Lord to do something, right? They would come expecting for miracles to happen. And because they had that expectation, friends, guess what happened? They saw it happen. They saw miracles happen all the time because the Holy Spirit of God was working among them. And friends, sometimes I just think we put the bar way too low. I just think we're not expecting God to do anything amazing or different. But what would happen if we came into this place expecting for God to pour out his miracle power on us? What if we came expecting that Christ was risen from the dead, that he was alive, and he was working in our lives and working in this church? What would that look like? I can tell you a little bit about maybe what it would look like. I think it would look like marriages that were broken being restored. Relationships between children and parents that were broken being put back together. I think it would look like sick people being healed. I think it would look like lives being transformed. People walking in here one day one way and walking out of here a completely different way because of the work of God. I think it would look like addictions being broken. I think it would look like chains that bind us down, chains of sin and heartache being thrown off of us. That's what I believe it would look like if we came expecting that the risen Christ was actually alive and actually at work and that we might see him together. Is it possible that we don't see Christ because we just don't expect to see him? You think about what's going on in Mary's mind. She's like, well, I've got my spices here. I've got this. I've got that. You know, is everything ready? You know, she's thinking about all these things. And then when she gets to the tomb, you know, I think sometimes y'all, we don't see the risen Christ because we're too busy looking at a bunch of other things. And that's what happened in the basketball story, right? They didn't see the gorilla walking across the screen because they were too busy focusing on the people in white shirts who were passing the basketball, right? And so they didn't see this crazy thing that happened right in the middle of the video because their focus was elsewhere. And guys, I believe that that's what happens to us too. I mean, I think there's some of us who are here this morning, and that's where we're living, man. We're focused on work, we're focused on our families, we're focused on our children, and for crying out loud, can I get a witness to that? Man, we got to watch those kids all the time, don't we? It's crazy. And so we're focused on all of these things that are going on in our lives, and we're so busy, and we're so focused, and we're pulled in so many different directions that when the risen Christ shows up in our lives wanting to do a work of power, right, we can't see him because we're looking at all these different things. Somebody here this morning, your eyes are on something in your life. Your eyes are directed towards something in your life. And they're so consumed with that you might miss Christ. So we can't see because we have limited expectations. But y'all, sometimes we can't see because it's just hard to see through tears. Right? Look at verse 14. Mary standing at the tomb crying, you know. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you put him and I will go and get him." Y'all, Mary is overcome with grief. She just watched her friend die a horrible, painful, awful death. A lot of her hopes and dreams were bound up in the person of Jesus, and she had just seen him die. She's sad. And then to add insult to injury, she gets there and someone's taken his body away, and she's just dejected. She's shattered. She's broken. She's weeping. Now listen, she was friends with Jesus. She spent lots of time with Jesus. They were buddies, right? She knew Jesus. And here he is standing right in front of her, talking to her, but she can't see him. I believe maybe she can't see him because there was a veil of tears over her eyes that made her unable to recognize him. She was overcome with grief. She was so sad that she couldn't see. Anybody ever had one of those ugly cries? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like those cries that where you're just like, I mean, please, I hope no one sees me right now because it's terrible. Anybody ever cried like that? Like sobbing, crying? You ever try to do that like while you're driving, you know, or something? I mean, it's dangerous. Don't do that, right? You could, you know, pull over, cry on the side of the road, please. But it's dangerous because you can't see. When you're crying like that, when you're weeping like that, when your heart's broken like that, you can't see. One time, I know this is going to come as a shock to you guys, because looking at me, you wouldn't be able to tell this, okay? But I'm not very much of a handyman, okay? I know. Check your surprise. But I one time got a job working in the maintenance department at Hardin Simmons. I was the worst maintenance man in the history of maintenance men, okay? I was terrible. I didn't know what I was doing, right? But they would take us student workers and they would put us in these houses that they owned, doing these little repair jobs in these houses. So one day I'm in one of these houses and what we're doing is putting sheetrock on the ceiling, okay? So, but now we didn't have any of the fancy tools that you have, like a T-bar or anything like that. So I'm standing there, right, on a platform, right, and I'm painter's scaffolding, and I'm holding a piece of sheetrock over my head and driving nails into the sheetrock over my head, okay? Those of you who've done some sheetrocking, you're like, that's stupid. And I'm like, you're right, okay? It was stupid. I'm nailing a nail into the sheetrock over my head, okay? It was a recipe for disaster. And guess what? Disaster struck. Okay, because what happened was I missed the nail and I hit my thumb, okay, full on, like hard swing, hit my thumb, okay. In addition, I hit my thumb, it bounced off, hit the sheetrock, sheetrock broke off of the sheetrock and fell into my eyes, okay. So my thumb has been hit. There's sheetrock in my eye, okay? The thumb is like throbbing. You know what I'm talking about? Just and you know what it's like when you hit your thumb. I mean, you say words that you don't normally say when you do something like that, right? And so I'm, my thumb is hurting, you know, and my eyes have, you know, sheetrock in them. And man, I've got tears streaming down my face, you know, because I hit my thumb, okay? I hit my thumb, that's why. And because I was crying because there was stuff in my eyes, all right? I wasn't weeping over the pain, okay? I'm more of a man than that, right? But there was sheetrock in my eye, my thumb was hurting, right? And you guys know what it's like when you do something like that, like all you can think about is my thumb hurts, you know? Anybody ever step on a Lego? Like, what do they make Legos out of? Razor blades? You ever step on a Lego in the middle of the night? Like, that's all you can think about is, ah, that hurts so bad, right? It fills up your consciousness. And I just want to say that I think that there are some of us here this morning, that's where you are. That's where you're living. You've been hurt. And that hurt has filled up your vision. You can't see because your eyes are filled with tears. And even when the risen Christ is standing right in front of us, we don't recognize him. We don't see him because we're brokenhearted. Right? I want to say something to you this morning, if that's where you are. I want to say that I'm praying that the Lord would wipe the tears from your eyes. That he would lift up your head. And that you will be able to see him this morning standing before you. Pleading with you. So we can't see. We can't see because we have limited expectations. Sometimes we have, you know, we have tears in our eyes. But what does this mean? Because this interaction means something for you and I, and we need to take a look at that. The first thing that it means is that we are known. We are known. Look what happens in verse 16. Mary doesn't recognize him. She's crying, and Jesus just says this, Mary. Verse 16, Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. So y'all, listen, Mary didn't recognize Jesus. He had appeared in front of her. She was speaking to him, and she didn't recognize him. She doesn't recognize him until what? Until he says her name. Y'all, Jesus knew Mary. Jesus knew everything about Mary. They spent time together. Jesus knew what made Mary tick, what was going on in her heart. And when he spoke her name, she heard that familiarity in his voice, and she immediately knew that Jesus was the one who was talking to her. He knew her. And I need you to hear this morning. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter how difficult or how painful it is, no matter what's happening in your heart and in your life today, here's what you need to know. Jesus knows you. You are known. You're known. He knows what you're going through. He knows the pain that you're experiencing because he has experienced pain like that in his own life. And he knows you. And if you'd listen, just take a moment to get silent before the Lord, you'd hear him calling out to you. We're known, but we're loved too. And that's tricky because I always think it's pretty amazing when somebody knows me really well and they still love me, right? But that's what Jesus does here. We don't understand this because in this passage, Jesus says, Mary, and Mary recognizes him. She says, teacher, you know. And then the next thing that Jesus says is, don't cling to me. So there's this, it just feels kind of bam, bam in the passage. But in my mind's eye, like, this is the way this happens, right? That she says, Rabboni, she says, teacher, right? And she throws herself into his arms. And Jesus wraps her up in his arms, and he's just hugging her, and he's just holding on to her. And that hug lasts so long that he finally has to say, hey, don't cling to me, right? I've got stuff I need you to do, right? I'm not here for very long. I've got stuff I need you to do. Right? And guys do this all the time. When we hug each other, we pat each other 3 times on the back. Pat, pat, pat. Right? Hugs over. Right? That's what we do. Right? Have you ever hugged somebody and you're like, pat, pat, pat? Pat, pat, pat. You know that? Pat, 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 pat. Let go, let go, let go, let go. Right? You ever hug somebody and the hug lasted a little longer than it was supposed to and things got awkward real fast? Right? You ever been there? That's what happens. Jesus hugs Mary. Mary hugs Jesus, and Mary's just clinging on to him, and the hug lasts a while, and Jesus finally has to say, hey, Mary, don't cling to me, right? We can't just stand here hugging all day, right? I've got stuff for you to do. And so what you see here is this picture of Jesus just pouring his love out on this person that he cares deeply for, holding her in his arms and comforting her. And I need you to know that that's the character of God demonstrated, embodied by the person of Jesus Christ. The character of God is to hold us when we are hurting. The character of God is to be present with us in our suffering. The character of God is that he loves us. He loves you. You are known and you are loved. And it doesn't matter how you failed in the past, it doesn't matter what terrible things you've done. Mary had done terrible things. She was possessed by demons. And Jesus loves her, knows her. This morning, I'd like for you, if you could, to just imagine, get really quiet. Maybe you can hear the voice of the Lord calling out to you. Brad. Mary. Charles. Travis. Jennifer. Speaking your name. Because he loves you. And he wants for you to see him. Sometimes I struggle to think about how to say things, you know, for you to really get what it is, the truth that we're trying to convey, the truth that I'm trying to talk about. And sometimes it's kind of difficult for me to get it across. So one of the things I've found is that sometimes music can do that in a way that we often can't. And so I'm going to sing a song to you right now, but I want you to imagine the risen Lord singing this song over you this morning, okay? I want you to imagine these words coming from Christ. Listen to this. It's quiet in this house up on a hill. You won't mind it. Some things you can't know till you're still in the silence, where your spinning thoughts slow down in the stillness. Things have a way of working out. Allow me to introduce myself again. I'm the one who knew you before time began. I've been waiting for you to let me be your friend. Everything you ever need is everything I am.
take your chances. There's nothing here to lose. Ask your questions. I promise you the truth. Are you ready? I want to heal your heart. Is it heavy? Old wounds have left a mark. Allow me to introduce myself again. I was with you every place you've ever been. I'm the one who held you when you couldn't stand. If you're wondering who can heal your brokenness, I can. I can. I can. I will meet you in the house upon a hill. How I want to show you I am real. Allow me to introduce myself again. I'm the love you used to think was not. I'm as sure as where you're standing, and I'm as free as the wind. Oh, and you don't have to reach for me, 'cause this is where I am. I am. I am. I am. I am. I. So listen, if you're wondering this morning who can heal your brokenness, he can. If you're weighed down with questions and you don't know what to do with them, he wants for you to bring them to him. He wants to hear your heart. This morning, the risen Savior is standing in front of you, begging you to know him. And I don't want you to miss that. I don't. That's not the end of the story, though. Did you know that? Jesus is like, look, don't cling to me. I haven't ascended to the Father yet. I need you to go and tell my brothers, right? I need you to go and tell my brothers that I am ascending to my Father, to their God, to your God. I need you to go tell them. And so Mary takes off running, and she runs back to the disciples, and she comes busting in, and she says, I have seen the Lord, right? Because we're not just known, we're not just loved, we are called to declare this truth, that Christ is risen. We are called to testify to his goodness. That's our calling. That's who we are supposed to be. Did you know that Sunday morning is practice? You know, that's what Sunday is. Sunday morning is practice. Not a game. I'm talking about practice. That's what Sunday morning is, right? And so what we do, we gather in this place and we practice how we are supposed to live our lives. And what we're about to do right now is we're about to practice declaring the truth of God, the truth that Christ is risen, the truth of who he is. So I'm going to need you to stand up, okay? But now listen, here's what you need to know. This truth that we're about to declare is the most exciting truth in all of human history. And as we declare it together, we need to practice. We need to practice how it feels to say these words out loud and to be people who declare this truth everywhere we go.
That's the truth, and we ought to be excited about that. He turns seas into highways. He turns mourning into dancing. And so when you go out of this place, I want you to go out of this place with the knowledge that Jesus loves you and that he knows you, and with the knowledge that you've been called to proclaim his love.